Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today I am going to share with you 5 starting steps for your financial goals. So as we're coming to the end of the year, a lot of us are starting to think about our goals for the new year. I know I definitely am. And if you have some financial goals that you want to put on your goals list for 2019, I am going to help you with some simple starting tips for 5 different aspects of your budgeting journey. So whether you're completely brand new to budgeting and you're just like, okay, in 2019, I'm just going to take control of my finances and okay, what do I do next? Or if you've been budgeting for a little while or you've been on a debt-free journey for a little while, but now you're ready to kind of start a new chapter, work on a different aspect of your budget, this is also going to help you with those goals as well. So let's jump right in without wasting any more time. And at the end, I am going to tell you how you can get your hands on a super awesome free resource that is going to be coming up for you guys. So make sure to stay tuned until the end so you can know all about that. All right. So little disclaimer, a little note for success, easy for me to say, note for success before we get started is even though I am giving you 5 starting steps, these are step 1 for 5 different aspects of your budget. So I don't intend for you to do all of these at the same time. So what I want you to do is really think about what aspect of your budget you want to focus on first and focus on one goal at a time. And these are going to be the first step that you need for each one of these different aspects. Okay. So what you want to do is decide which area of your budget you're going to focus on and put all of your efforts towards that. And remember that multitasking does not necessarily result in productivity. So we want to hyper-focus on whatever we're focusing on and go all in on that, get settled in that, and then move on to really tackling another part of your budget. Okay, so these are the most common areas of your budget. We're going to talk about the first steps that you need for organizing your bills, for cutting back your spending, for paying off your debt, for increasing your savings, and how to start a sinking fund. And what a sinking fund even is, if you're not familiar with that term. It's kind of an uncommon term. All right, so if your goal in the new year or any time that you're listening to this is to organize your bills, the first thing that you need to know is what exactly your bills section is. What is the difference between bills and spending, basically? So your bills section should include any items that have a due date and that their cost is kind of unflexible. Obviously, your electric bill fluctuates from month to month, but things that you have a little less control over. So these would be things like your house payment or your rent, your electricity, your internet, your water bill, things like that. This is not where you're going to put your grocery money or your gas money, okay? So your bills section, things that have a due date. That's a good rule of thumb for those. So your first step, if you want to get organized with your bills, is to write out all of your bills in due date order. Include a short description, an amount. If it's something that changes, for example, your electric bill, write out a range or write out, you know, what you think it should, what it should be around this time of year, what it should be in the spring, what it should be in the summer. Something just to give you a rule of thumb, basically, an estimated amount, and then a due date. And again, put them all in due date order. This seems really simple, but it is the first step. And you're going to feel so productive when you do this first step. You're going to feel so organized. And that way, everything's going to be in a nice, neat little sheet and all nice and neat in order. And after you do that, what you want to do, I talk about this more in how I organize my bank accounts. I think I go into it a little bit in that one. I can link to that podcast episode if you haven't listened to that one yet. It's one of my most popular episodes. But I talk about how on before payday, I sit down and I determine which bills need to be paid and how much they should total up to. And I write this down in an estimated column. And then on payday, I'll go back and I'll kind of reassess, make sure that all of my estimates were correct, and then I'll write everything in an actual column. So it's kind of like you do some of your bills before payday. You kind of just estimate what everything should be. And then on payday, you'll go back and write down what they actually are. And then you just continue to keep up with them, check off, you know, what's been paid, what's cleared, and all of that throughout the budgeting period. So those are great starting steps if you want to work on organizing your bills as one of your financial goals. All right, number two is cutting back your spending. This is a hugely popular goal because spending is the part that we have the most control over, basically, in our budget. So your spending section, those are going to be the items that don't have due dates, that have flexible amounts, like your groceries, your gas, your fun money, your date night money, your clothing, things like that. That's going to be your spending. And again, if you listen to the episode where I talked about how I organized my bank accounts, again, I'll link to that in the show notes. Such a helpful podcast. I actually keep these two separate. I actually have a bills account and bank account with a debit card. And I also have a spending bank account with a debit card. And I keep them completely separate. So if you want to get control over your spending and work on cutting back your spending as your financial goal, you want to start by tracking your spending. So you have to know where your money has actually been going. And the good thing about this is if you've been using a debit card or even a credit card, you can go back in your records and you can see where you have been spending your money for the last couple of months. When I did this, I started with 3 months. I just went back through my bank accounts. I literally printed out my records from my online banking and I highlighted, you know, groceries are in blue, restaurants are in green or whatever. And then I did a total of where I was spending my money and what categories they were in. So if you spend on debit or credit, you can do this. If you use cash, predominantly cash, you're not going to have records unless you're just religious about keeping your receipts, which most of the time we're not. but if you can, if you have access, you can go back and track. And that is so, so helpful. That's actually what I did when I first got started. So even if you can't backtrack your spending, you can start right where you are and start by just simply writing down every single purchase and then grouping them up into categories, adding those categories up. How much do you spend on groceries every week or every 2 weeks, however often you do your budget period, and find out what your normal is, okay? So whatever your normal is, it doesn't matter what so-and-so is doing. It doesn't matter what this other person on Facebook is spending. It doesn't matter what your neighbor's spending. How much are you spending? What is your normal? And then figure out how you can beat that and make your goal to beat your normal. So say you're spending $200 a week on groceries. You feel like that's too much. You want to beat that. $200 is your normal. Regardless of what I spend, regardless of what your sister spends, how much do you spend? You spend $200, you feel like it's too much. Your new goal is to beat $200. So maybe say you want to spend $180 or $150 or whatever works for you. And then go from there. And that's how you start cutting back your spending. Figure out what your normal is and make it your goal to beat it little by little. Okay. I also have a free 5-day email course. If you haven't signed up for it, most of you have been through it because there are thousands of people who have been through it. Pretty much everybody on my email list. It's called Take Control of Your Spending. Very simple, straightforward, little free email course. I can link to it in the show notes. If you haven't been through it, it'll help you just kind of get a little kickstart on taking control of your spending. Let's see. After you do that, you're going to, I'm kind of jumping around in my notes, just excuse me here. So once you figure out what your normal is, you know, you just keep doing that. So that would kind of be where you want to put your estimated column. Again, I do this estimated and actual column on a lot of my worksheets. If you have my worksheets, you know. Basically, your estimated is how much you want to spend. What is your budget for your groceries? So your groceries, well, whatever your budget is, would go in your estimated column. And then after you went grocery shopping, you would put what you actually spent in the actual column. And then you can have them side by side to kind of compare them. I hope that makes sense. And then you're just going to update these sheets as frequently as possible and just kind of keep a running total. Again, you know, pay attention, try to beat your normal, keep the categories totaled up, and then you can adjust and adapt as you go and kind of play with the numbers as you start kind of figuring this out and getting a, you know, better control over it and start cutting back your spending, start pushing yourself to spend less and less until you get to a point that you feel more comfortable with your spending. You don't feel like it's so out of control. But I think the most important thing with cutting back your spending is to simply pay attention. So I feel like paying attention, tracking, writing things down, those are huge, huge starting steps. All right. So the next area that we want to talk about is paying off your debt. So this is probably a lot. It's probably on a lot of people's goals list for 2019, for sure. So how do you start tackling your debt, especially when you have a lot of debt and it can seem really out of control? Kind of just like what we're going to do, like what we did for the bills and the spending. Really just start with writing it down. I think knowing where you are, knowing where you stand with everything, having everything on either a spreadsheet typed out or a handwritten worksheet, having it all in one place, it just gives you so much peace of mind. You feel so much more organized. You know where you stand. Even if you're standing in a bad place, at least you know where you stand, right? And I think that knowing is just half of the battle. So again, same thing if you're trying to work on paying off your debt. The first thing you want to do is just simply write out all of your debts in whatever order you intend to pay them off. Of course, there's always this debate of doing the snowball method or the avalanche method or doing them in a random order. So for those of you who aren't familiar with those terms, the snowball method of paying off debt is basically where you list them. You list your debt items from smallest balance to largest balance. You throw all of your extra money at the smallest balance until it's paid off. You continue to pay only the minimums on everything else. Once that smallest debt is gone, you roll all of that extra money onto the second smallest and so on and so forth until you're debt free. The avalanche method is where you line them up in interest order. So you would pay off the highest interest item first to save yourself the interest money. Or honestly, I feel like the majority of people kind of do a combination of both. So I honestly don't think that it matters as long as you are intentional with the order that you do them in. So I would say just write them down in the order that you intend to pay them off. Maybe you have a personal loan from your grandparents or somebody, friend or somebody personal, and it's kind of causing friction at family events or something like that, and you want to pay them off first, I say do that. If you want to do the smallest because you want to get that quick win, do it. If you want to pay off your highest interest because it makes sense mathematically and that's what's going to motivate you, then do that. I say just come up with a plan, and be intentional about it and stick to it. I think whatever is going to keep you the most motivated, I would go with that. What we did first, obviously, we didn't know what we were doing when we first started. And I've just always had a bad stigma with credit card debt. I was always really, really ashamed of my credit card debt, more so than any other debt. So we took my husband's Christmas bonus and his overtime from working over the holidays our very first year. And we knocked out two really small credit cards from the get-go before I even added up our debt. And we actually did it so just kind of threw the money at them so quickly that I never even wrote down what the balances were on them. And then after I added up my debt, I actually went and paid off the first three smallest debts because they totaled to about $100. That's how small they were. So, you know, I think just be intentional. Write it down. That's definitely your first step if you want to work on paying off your debt. And then throw all the extra money that you can at that first debt item, whichever you decide that it should be. And then, you know, until that first debt item is gone. And this is where, you know, you want to start looking for ways to free up any extra money you can so you can throw it at your debt, throw it at whichever debt item you want to work on. So that might be, you know, kind of rolling it into you need to cut back your spending because you want to pay off your debt. Or you want to get rid of a couple of bills. Say you want to like get rid of your cable or move to a smaller house or something like that. Or this might be where you want to pick up a side hustle or find things to sell. Do something random or crazy to earn some extra money because your new goal is to pay off debt as fast as you can, right? So that's definitely your first starting steps for paying off your debt. I do want to mention one of my favorite resources, if this is your goal, is to get yourself a debt-free chart. So you guys might have remembered a couple episodes ago, I had Heidi Nash on. She is the creator of debt-free charts. And it is an amazing resource. It's basically the coloring charts. You've probably seen them all over Instagram. They're so amazing. So she has them for paying off debt and for saving. So I'm going to link to those in the show notes. So if either paying off debt or increasing your savings is one of your goals in 2019, definitely get yourself a debt-free chart. Most of the charts are free, and the ones that she charges for are just a dollar. So really awesome, fun visual to kind of help you get a little bit more excited about your goals. All right, next, I want to talk to you guys about increasing your savings. So I hear this goal a lot. So there are different types of savings. First of all, there is your small emergency fund. So this is basically before you're debt-free. This is that little bit of money that you want to put between you and whatever life throws at you. Basically, this is to kind of help you wean yourself off of credit cards or using debt to get yourself out of some kind of burden. So this is usually like $500 to $2,000, kind of just depending on your financial situation. You know, are you a one income family? What is your income level? You know, how many people do you have to support? Things like that. So for some people, $500 seems like a really great buffer and they feel really safe and secure with $500. Other people are like, no, I have four kids and if something happens, it's usually expensive and I need more like $2,000. The thing here is to keep it small. So it's not, you know, you don't want $10,000 in your small emergency fund when you still have a bunch of debt looming over your head. It's basically just a false sense of security, right? So just make it a relatively small amount. $500 to $2,000 is usually a good rule of thumb, somewhere in there, before you're debt-free. And then after you're debt-free, this is where you want to start kind of stockpiling the money and get that larger emergency fund, which is usually about 3 to 6 months worth of money. A lot of people will just pick a nice round number, like $10,000 or $20,000 or something like that. after you're debt-free. So this is basically like if you were to get hurt at work or lose your job or something really catastrophic was to happen, you would be pretty secure for several months. And then the next savings account is the most fun of all savings, which is what I call your next goal fund. This is basically whatever you're working towards saving for next, whether it be a vacation or a new vehicle, or like example for us, we just bought our camper in cash and we saved for it. It was our next goal fund. So whatever you're saving for as your next big goal, you would want to have a place for that in your budget somewhere. So whether you have a completely separate savings account, you have it thrown in with your emergency fund and just you know either on paper or keep a mental note that that money is separate, you keep it in a cash envelope or in a safe in your house or whatever you do, just know that that money is above and beyond your emergency fund. It's completely separate, right? The fourth kind of savings account is a sinking fund. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about sinking funds in just a minute. But this is basically a sinking fund is where you save for those irregular purchases throughout the year, right? And you want to have a place for that. So whatever you want to do with your savings account, kind of the same aspect as the debt. It's just really what you choose to do with your extra money. After you've paid your bills, after you've bought groceries and filled up your car with gas and made sure that you had, you know, enough money to buy clothes and whatever, you know, all your necessity kind of things, what do you want to do with the rest of your extra money? Do you want to put it towards debt or do you want to save it? So this is, again, where you want to look for freeing up money anywhere you can by getting rid of a bill, cutting back your spending, picking up a side hustle, you know, finding things to sell, whatever you need to do to find some extra money. And you would, of course, want to throw that at savings if that is your goal. And again, if you're going to work on savings, don't forget to get yourself a debt-free chart. We did this when we were saving to cash flow our truck and cash flow our camper. And it was so fun. And even the kids got to get involved with coloring in the lines. And it was just really fun to kind of have that visual. All right. So last one, number five of the goals. If your goal is to start a sinking fund, I'm going to help you find your first starting steps for starting a sinking fund. So basically, a sinking fund is just a fund for those non-regular expenses. And these are the things that oftentimes get forgotten in your regular budget. So these are things like maintenance to your car, maintenance to your house, things like that. These can also be for things that only happen quarterly or annually, like a membership fee. For example, for us, we pay union dues. My husband's in a union, so we pay every quarter we have union dues due. Or it could be like Christmas or birthdays, things like that, right? Things that don't happen every single pay period. And these are things that you wish that you would have had the money available for. I'm sure a few things are kind of popping into your head as you're going through this. For us, one really random thing is our recital fees for dance class. We pay these once a year. They're relatively expensive. We had paid for the recital fee and the costumes and all of the things that we have to buy at recital time. And it can sneak up on you if you aren't ready for it. So what you would do for these non-regular expenses is, first of all, you want to keep a running list of them. You can go ahead and start a list, but chances are you're probably going to forget one or two things. So just as the year goes on, keep a running list. And you're like, oh, you know, I forgot to budget for my nephew's birthday. You know, I remembered my own kids' birthday, but I forgot my nephew's birthday. Or I didn't think about Easter presents or Halloween costumes or all those little random things that we have throughout the year. So keep a running list. give yourself a little bit of grace and know that the first year, it's probably not going to be perfect, but the second year will probably be pretty great because you're just going to keep a running list as those things come up. Whatever it is, it can be the most random things. It doesn't matter. It's your sinking fund. So what you want to do is total up these items and then divide it by the number of pay periods that you have. If you want to do the entire year, that's awesome. Or if it's something that's like, oh my gosh, this is only 4 months away. How many pay periods do I have between now and then? And, you know, you want to throw money in there little by little so it doesn't sneak up on you and ruin an otherwise perfectly good budget. Then whenever it's time for the holiday or the event or, you know, time to get new tires on your car, whatever it is, you can go to that sinking fund and simply withdraw the money and it'll be there when you need it. And again, there's not a wrong way to do this. So you can do this in cash. You can do this with a completely separate debit card account. You can do this with a completely separate savings account. It doesn't matter as long as you're being intentional with that money. We did for several years, we just had it in a savings account. This year, right before Christmas shopping started, actually, I started a brand new debit card account. And it has been so much easier, so much more simplified to just have a separate debit card. I took a Sharpie, wrote sinking fund on it, and I know that all my Christmas money is in that account, and I don't have to, you know, worry about it getting tangled up with my grocery money or my other savings money. It's in its very own account, and it's really, really nice. So whatever way you feel comfortable with doing it, I know a lot of people do cash. They'll just, you know, throw a $10 bill in a cash envelope or whatever it is and call it done. And that works for them. To each his own, I feel like as long as you're being intentional, that's great. The whole point with this is to make sure that those little expenses don't sneak up on you. All right. So those are my 5 simple starting steps for any of the financial goals that you might have for 2019. Again, don't try to do them all at once. Take them one at a time and don't spread yourself too thin on these financial goals. But like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I have something really exciting for you guys, a free resource. And we are going to talk all about what we just talked about in more detail and more in my Fresh Financial Year workshop that is coming up very soon. And it is going to be a free workshop. This is actually the 3rd year that I am hosting this workshop. And I cannot even believe it's been 3 years. That's crazy. And this is a really fun workshop. It is my most successful workshop of the year. We have that new year motivation, and it's so nice to kind of take advantage of that clean slate, just really start the year on a good foot financially, start the year motivated, start the year, you know, with all of your goals all laid out. And that is what we do in this Fresh Financial Year workshop. I'm going to talk to you more about ways that you can stay motivated, ways that you can set good goals, not just financially, but good goals for all the different aspects of your life, how to really dig in and determine what your goals need to be and how to just have an awesome year. It's just so good. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, I will link to it in the show notes where you guys can go and sign up for the workshop. Again, it's going to be completely free. I'm going to be hosting it live, but there will be a replay link available. And just insider tip here for my podcast listeners, if you have been waiting for a discount on my budgeting course, Your Sunday Money Method, you are going to want to sign up for this workshop because I'm also going to be giving you access to a coupon code just for signing up for the workshop. So if you've been waiting on a discount for the course, this is a good way to get one. Just kind of as a thank you and kind of as a, hey, I'm here for you. I'm cheering you on in the new year and, you know, all of that good stuff. Plus, I'm also going to be talking about another really exciting resource that I'm going to have. I can't share too much about it right now, but just know that it is going to be for the ladies who are ready to step it up even more so than just the course. So it's going to be for those ladies who are ready to go to the next level above the course. That's all I'm going to say for now. But it's going to be awesome. And I cannot wait to share this workshop with you guys and just help you guys get ready for the new year. All right. So I hope that this was helpful to you guys. I hope that this gave you some really good, simple starting tips. Remember, keep it simple. Don't try to multitask. Don't overcomplicate it. Take it one step at a time and you're going to do awesome. All right. So as always, please share this episode with anyone that you know could need to hear this message. Leave me a review. Subscribe if you haven't already. You guys, this podcast has been growing like crazy and I am so forever grateful. And I cannot wait to see what the podcast is going to do in 2019. I'm so excited. All right, guys, I will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for hanging out. Bye, guys.